Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I'm just going to stop the reading for there. I'm going to cover the rest of it as we get into the message. So, Lord Jesus, we just pray right now for the remainder of our time that you speak through this vessel. Give me the words to speak and the spirit by which to speak them. Give us ears to hear the words that you speak, and give us a heart to receive the words that you have for us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is telling believers to continue living in Christ with the same faith and dependence they had when they first received him. To receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, means to accept him not only as Savior, but as Lord, as the authority and as the creator of our lives. When we come to Christ, and that happened this morning, what we did is we came to a place and they said, and we've said, who have made the same decision, you are Lord, you are Savior of our soul. Only you can save us eternally. But then it also says in the next verse that you are also Lord over us. Well, nobody told me about the Lord part. I kind of like being Lord of my own life, is what some might say. No, the beauty is when we surrender to him, we're surrendering to the one who sacrificed for us. So when I say Lord and Savior, I'm honoring the one who died for me. And all he asks of us is that we die to our old self, which is a big deal, and we become a new creature, a new creator. Not a creator, a new creature. No, there's only one creator. Okay. And this is what Paul is telling us in this right here. Title of this message is Growing in the Depth and the Breadth of Christ. Depth and breadth. The reason why we need to grow in the depth and the breadth of Christ is because we need to be able to stand when the world comes at us with nonsensical thinking. We have to be able to stand, and the only way to truly stand is by knowing just how broad his love is and how deep it goes for us, just how awesome his power is and how deep that goes as well. We need to know him at that level, because we're going to stand against some difficult times, and we're going to stand in difficult situations and difficult circumstances. We need to know this about him. To walk in him means to live daily in close relationship and obedience to him, allowing him to shape our thoughts, attitudes, and actions by his presence and by his word, in spirit and in truth. When we come to Christ, that's what we're doing. We're making a decision to come to a place where we say, here I am, Mike LeClaire, lump of clay. Now do with me, God, what you will. Change me, form me, mold me, shape me into what you want me to be. That's what we say when we come to Christ. And we say, I now die to myself and I live for you. Now, are we perfect in this? I can't speak for you, although I could. No, you're not. I am not perfect in this. That's why I feel qualified to talk about it. I'm not even close. Few things didn't go my way this week. That's just this week. What about the other 7 million weeks that I've had? No, we need him at every level and in every way. And we call upon him to be our Lord, to be our Savior. To walk in him means to live daily in close relationship and obedience to him. And we do give him the opportunity to help us shape our lives as he would have it. What we learn is he loves us with such a love that he will do right by us. He will pour into us to conform us to be what he wants us to be, which is far greater than what we can imagine for ourselves. What I'm going to talk to you about today, though, is really about this battle between him in my life and the world in my life. And it's a battle. It is a real battle. Being rooted and built up in him. Use the example of a tree. and what a tree looks like, what a tree is like beneath the surface, and what it is like above the our vision, above the rooftops. I want to come with two different perspectives here. If you think of a tree as something that is anchored, you think of one whose roots run really deep, and you can't move it. You could even do that with a plant. I got a couple in my yard that I've gone to war with, and I'm trying to pull this little plant. I don't like it. I want to pull, and I can't get it out. And I'm pulling, and I'm yanking, and I'm thinking, I should be able to get this out. And I can't. Why? Because those roots run so deep. And I can't affect it the way I want to with my bare hands, so I got to go to get the tools. I got to get a hoe. I got to get a shovel to dig deep because roots run deep. And what he's saying to us is our roots in him need to run deep like this as well. Why? So we're not blown over and toppled over. Have you seen some of the trees in the hurricane that just hit? And man, you see them turned over on end, and you look at the root structure, and they're like this, this deep for a tree that's like this big. That's no good. That weed has got more of a root structure than the big tree has. But this is what he's telling us. We must keep growing upward is the second part. Growing upward. It's not so much about height as it is about growing in a fashion that we're growing closer to him. It's almost metaphorical, but it's a picture. So we have a deep structure, the root system, which is the foundation of our faith, but we all have a growing up. We're growing closer to Christ. This is how I see it. For really creative people, you'll see it a lot better than I do. But I'm giving you an idea as to what we're talking about here. And what is it that we're called to do? We're called to be established in our faith. Y'all know what your faith is? Do you know what you truly believe? And do you know at what level you believe it? We're called to grow in the depth of our understanding, just like the root system that supports the tree. What supports us? When we grow in depth in the understanding of who Christ is. Every song we sang today had to do with Jesus, what he does for us, who he is, the glory and the grandeur of who he is, and the depth of who he is, and what he's calling us to. He's calling us to a greater depth in him, a greater structure that he is he set aside for us, that we grow in that structure and we become more stable. I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit, but I need to establish this. So that we're established in our faith, steady and mature, not easily shaken by false teaching. Oh, here it comes. Finally, abounding with thanksgiving reminds us that gratitude should overflow us as we recognize all that Christ is and has done and continues to do so. Yeah, those teachings that come against us. How many would say, I'm aware of those teachings? Three of you? Okay, let me ask the question differently. How many would say, I'm aware that there's things and teachings that come against us? Okay, that's a little easier. And maybe your answer is more correct than mine, is because we fight an adversary that comes at us from so many different directions. We don't know every attack he has. But when I know God's word and I'm built up and my structure is strong, I can take the hits that he delivers at me. And we'll talk about what some of those are later, maybe. I can take those hits. Because I know who he is, and I'm in him. And I'm not knocked off like the tree with the root system that's like this and they topple over so easily. And we're talking obviously about faith here, that I would grow in an understanding of my faith in this kind of way. Thank you, Jesus. So you're not easily shaken by false teachings. Lord, Paul is saying, keep living the way you began, by faith in Christ, growing deeper and stronger and more thankful as your life becomes more fully rooted in him. Here's what happens. We make a decision for Christ. That's a beautiful thing. What happened this morning was a beautiful thing. But what happens after a person makes a decision for Christ is the winds blow. The trials come. The baby cries. All these things are coming at us at one time. And can we stand against them? What happened this morning for the couple that raised their hands, there's an enemy of your soul that's looking to strip you of the very thing that you just decided for. For you that have been believers for a long time, that same enemy is coming at you in the same way. Different strategies, because you've been around the block a little bit, but he's still coming after you. To what? To diminish your faith. Have you believe other things? Throw nonsense in your path. That's the second time I'm using that word. I heard it in my life group this week. In your path to thwart you and to throw you off. To get you not so close, not so dependent, not so coming to Christ and giving it to Him. That's what happens when you're a believer. When you're not living like a believer, do you know what the attacks look like? Nothing. Butterflies. Flowers. Simple things. Nothing that will throw you off the path because you're already off the path. That's a serious problem for the church. We're good. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And the attacks come, and sometimes they're very subtle. Or, I've been a believer a long time. I'm in good shape with God. The attacks come at you, but differently. Different attacks for different folks. And what is it all about? All these attacks for the new person? It's to pluck the seed that was just planted in you this morning. And for the one that's been there for a moderate amount of time, it's to throw doubt and fear into you. And for the one who's been a believer forever, it's to just bring you to the point where you're fine. You're good. You've been doing this for 30-some years. You're all right. Different attacks for different purposes. And we have to be on our guard for those kinds of things. So when we talk about depth, we're talking about being rooted in Jesus Christ. And then when we talk about breadth, we're building up our understanding and growing a broader understanding of who God is, as well as a deeper one. Why? Because the attacks are going to come, and I'm really getting anxious to talk about it. It's a big deal. I'm going to give you seven things real quick, and then we'll get to the message. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says that He would grant you according to His riches and glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And that's inner man, inner woman, interchangeable. All right. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So what's He calling us to? He is getting us grounded in our faith in who He is, and then He's getting us grounded in the byproducts of what that should be, which is love. We had that in our bonus hour this morning about love. Love is a big deal in God's economy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Who does that mean? That means everybody. Your neighbor, your distant neighbor, your enemies become your neighbors in God's eyes by how you love them. That's what we're called to do. Do you have to like them? It doesn't say anything about like. It says about love. That came up in our life group, didn't it? Yeah. Thank goodness we don't have to like. We probably should work our way at getting to like. But it's about loving. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What happens when you love? You're being filled with the giftings of God. I love people. Okay, that's really a nice statement. What does it look like? Well, I treat them nice. Man, I have had some wicked people in my life treat me nice. No, it's more than that. It's having a genuine concern for them and their health and their well-being and their spiritual walk. There's a depth to it. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What is that all talking about? Really speaks a lot about meditating on the Word of God and letting that Word get in you, and He will sustain you. He will feed you. He will grow you deeper. He will give you drink. He will give you what we need. He'll give us our sustenance. but we are to be like a tree planted by the water, absorbing all that God has for us. That's what he's calling us to absorb and take in what he's given us. To what? To grow us, to sustain us, to conform us to his pattern, not the world's pattern. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again for the first principles of the oracles of God. And if you have come to need milk and not solid food," milk is for the new believer. Most of you know this. They give you the milk of the word because it's easy to understand and it's the first things that we begin to learn. Where does that start? It started by raising your hand. Where does it go from there? Somebody gives you support and gives you a Bible and says, begin to read here. Okay, now go here. Or find a way to get involved in a life group where people will speak life into you. And by the way, in our life group, I hope I don't offend anybody, but I'm going to tell on you. I'm watching people grow right before my eyes. I'm watching them grow in the understanding of the word. And it is fascinating. I don't like the fact that I'm watching them grow past me, but in many cases they are, but I'll get over it. But they are growing in the understanding of the word, and they're all of a sudden, they've been there, you know, 7 months, and all of a sudden, they're like, they got degrees or something. And they understand the word, and they're speaking from a different perspective because now they're searching out God, and he's filling them with understanding that goes beyond what they knew in their flesh. He's at work in them. It is the most beautiful thing. And I'm telling you, if you talk to them, they'll tell you they're starting from scratch. You know, I raised my hand, I just accepted Christ, and now, you know, 6-7 months later, you know, it's just so, it's such a blessing. And then the fruit of those kinds of blessings are, do you use it to bless others? That's what we're called to do, is to bless others. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Don't forget what you guys have learned. Keep growing. "And if you have come to need milk and not solid food," what are they talking to? The old saints that had a good start and all of a sudden they faded away kind of. And now they can't even get into the depth because they still have to go back and take the milk. The milk is the easier, simpler things to get. There's nothing wrong with the milk. But there's a time when we grow past it and we get into the meat of God's word. Little babies, I love the transition, and this isn't meant to get weird or not, but I'm a grandpa and I got 11 grandkids. And when I watch them transition from going from milk to food to meat, it's a mess. It is for the believer too. Like, maybe it's confusing. Why does it say that? Or this guy says that. And so there's a growing that's taking place, and it's beautiful. And that baby, that milk, all of a sudden doesn't want the milk. It wants the meat. It wants the sustenance. It wants the stuff that makes him bloat. He wants good stuff. That's how we're supposed to be. Pursuing the meat of the word. And it's exciting. And that's happening in life groups, and it's joyful. It happens when I get a chance to have one-on-ones with elders or deacons or people who have spent time in the Word. It's exciting. The pastors, we talk, and it's good, and that's what he's calling us to. It's about us moving from spiritual infancy to maturity, and we do this by the constant application and growing in God's Word. In this day, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but in this day, we have to know the Word of God. We've always needed to know it, but now you need to know it like you didn't know it. I'm going to skip ahead here so I can get to the fun stuff. "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's why we're in God's Word. It equips us. We have people that are going to help Vita. You're going to become a volunteer that helps out VITA, which is a pro-life medical clinic, which helps all women that walk through the door, loves all women that walk through the door, some who are about to make wonderful choices and some are going to make critically disastrous choices. They love them all, and they pour into them. Sometimes a woman comes in for the third, fourth time, not making a good decision, but they're there to love them and to help them, not teaching them wrong or not appeasing, but growing them. And then all of a sudden, they get to the fifth, and they decide, no, I'm going to keep what God has put in me, or what's in me, I should say. And then they support them at that level for 2 years. They help them raise their baby. It's amazing. And people are going to go into that work from this church. Why? Because God has called you to a great work. To bless those who don't know God. To love those who know God but aren't living like He wants them to. To support them in the way that they should go. Well, you can't go in there empty. You have to go in there filled up with God's word and the understanding of who He is. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever. Amen. We grow in grace. What is grace? It is people that are going to that clinic to help. That's grace at work. On many levels, they go in to help others who need grace, but they themselves are being filled with grace. That's how God works. He equips us. For those getting involved in harvest ministries with those precious women. We got some in this church right now that are there pouring into that ministry. With people who have had very difficult pasts, but they've come to Christ and now they have to get over the hurdles and the humps that life throws at them. And they're going to come into it, but they can't go in empty. You got to come in growing. You got to be active in your faith. Your faith has to be real to sustain in that kind of work. I'm going to share, that's my opinion on it. This is what God would say, to have great effect. That's what we do. That's what Christians are called to do. Not judge it. Not judge it at all, but to step into the middle of it. Second part here. Christ over our worldly ways and thought. I have a different title for that. I had this and I don't care for it. Get out of the barn. I want you to think of this picture. I don't want you to laugh. There should be no laughing. In eighth grade, we moved from Illinois. My family did. Buffalo Grove, Illinois, which is a west suburb of Chicago, to southern Door County. Because my dad wanted to be a farmer. Got the picture? I'm in the middle of my eighth grade year. Life was going great where I was. I got picked up, swept up, and taken to this place where they actually had these carts with wheels on it and these fans that went like this, and they spread crap all over the place. And that was really a thing, and I was shocked with my city eyes. Pastor Tim and I have talked about it. That's how Tim fertilizes his lawn to this day. Anyway, I come up here, and my dad wants to be this farmer. None of us, including my dad, who I loved and respected very much, knew nothing about farming. And I've told this story in here before, like, we're going to plow a field. And he's going to have me. I'm in eighth grade. I don't know anything. I can't reach anything because I was shorter than what I am right now. Couldn't reach pedals and stuff, but he wanted me to plow the field. And he gives me one of these and says, the only thing is, it has to be straight. So Gerald, you probably have four of those in your backyard. And I'm going to plow. And he said, the first furrow is the most important. Donnie laughs when I tell the story, but that's got to be straight. Because if the first one isn't straight, everything else is crooked. And I'm doing the plowing. And, I went over too much. I got to fix it. And with every time I tried to fix it, it got worse and worse. And the people on the bus that would pick us up for school the next day could see the field and laugh because they knew about farming. I knew nothing about farming. So I hated farming. The only thing I liked was baling hay. That's the only thing I liked. I hated it. But my dad loved it. So what does he do? He makes us a laughing stock in our newly acquired community. Then he says, we're going to have cows. Why? Because meat comes from them and milk comes from them. So, okay, that's kind of neat. I think cows are kind of neat and at that age. And so he goes out and he buys 6 beef cows. And he puts them in the barn. Okay, that's really neat. I mean, we got cows. We're like the real thing. Well, cows poop all over the place, anywhere. And electric fences by people from Chicago don't work. They short out, cows get out, and every morning, I had 7 siblings, so there's 8 of us all together. I'd get hockey sticks and bats, and we're trying to herd cattle back to our farm. School buses going by, and once again, we're the laughing stock of the whole Southern Door area, the whole farming community. And it was hard. I didn't like any of it. But then the milking the cows, even though they're beef cows, was not fun. Remember, there's still the poop. And then there's the 4 sprouts. And we did it by hand. I hated it. One of the things I learned, and this is the message for all of us today, when you spend time in that barn and you're wallowing around in the poop, you absorb the poop smell. I didn't like it. It's embarrassing. So I got to find a way to get out of this. So what do? I get involved with the activities at school. So I get involved with wrestling. Well, one thing about being 4 foot nothing, 85 pounds, you're going to wrestle against smaller, weaker people. I said, I like that. I can do that. So I go out for wrestling. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to play baseball in the spring. And then when the next fall comes around, I'm going to play football, which is not a good decision. Because I learned that if I have all these activities, I don't have to milk the cows. And I don't have to absorb the stink. But I get on the wrestling team, and I'm wrestling another guy about my size, but he's older than me. And the guy stunk. I just remember every day I had to wrestle him, and he stunk. And he smelled like the barn that he came from. Now, I'm cleaned up. I'm not doing the barn. My brother's doing that. But this guy stunk, and as we're wrestling, I didn't like it. Why did he stink? Because his old man made him do the chores before school in the barn, so he comes out smelling like the barn. And that is exactly what it's like when you and I are in the world. We begin to stink and smell like the world instead of being the aroma that we were created to be in Christ. That's the point. That's the whole thing. And why do we have to study God's word? 1, so we're not idiots. 2, we need to study his word so we know his word so we can fight against the things that come against us. Because if we don't do that, we are not protected against the things that come against us, which are so subtle. You know what they are? Theories and philosophies that the world throws at us, and we begin to believe, where's my girl? The nonsense that the world is shoveling to us. The only way I cannot stink of the world is by being in his word. Amen. Knowing what it says. You like that barn story? That. Oh. No, you wouldn't. So when we talk about being in God's word, the story's funny and it's cute and it's real. That's the hard part. But we have to be in his word. We have to grow. We cannot take faith casually, because you know what? You're going to stink like the world if you do. The philosophies and the theologies that I hear from people that aren't in his word are, it's nonsense. They believe stuff that everybody knows. You got to go down into the 3rd and 4th graders for them to tell you, no, that's wrong. Because we don't know it anymore. And, you know, I can go to a lot of political places because politics, it's just like a big beacon of nonsense. And you all know where I could go, but apparently I've offended some people. And I'm not here to offend anybody except for those who profess to believe believers in Christ. I'll offend you. And you don't get into God's word at all? Get into his word. And it's for your benefit and for those who you come across. That's what this is all about. So we don't want to stink like the world. We want to be an aroma like Christ. We want to We want to affect the people that we interact with what? Love, with grace, with understanding, and with a message that will save their life eternally. That's what we want. So when I'm reading through these scriptures, I'm reading about the planting the roots deep and letting the trees grow high and being filled and being a presence, if you will. It's about us operating in Christ to affect change in a world that so desperately needs to hear it. But too many times we're fighting our own wounded. And our own wounded are those that pay no attention to the serious things of our faith. They want the cookouts and they want Sally's meal on a Wednesday. I'm not ripping on our life group. They're pretty astute. They're good. They're in it. But I think you understand my point. They want the social club of church. Is there a social club in church? Sure there is. And it's not bad. But it's not the purpose. The purpose is to know God. And the way we know God is by being in His Word. That's how we know God. And what do we do with what we know? We go tell about God. To who? To a lost and dying world that needs to hear it. So, Gerald began the whole thing. Did you ask somebody? Did you tell somebody about Jesus? I forgot I even said it and you were all over it. It was beautiful. That's what we're called to do. Then we're acting as light in a dark, dark world. And when we do it with a foundation, roots that run deep, trees that run high, because we're feeding ourselves with the meat of God's Word, it has great impact. Once again, God is growing us. So what does He do with us? He brings us to a place where we have to step beyond ourselves. And He brings us to a place where I have to go against the thing I don't want to do because they're going to laugh at me, or they're going to mock me, or they're going to belittle me, or they're going to disagree with me. And He says, go tell them. Go tell them. Tell them who I am. If you feel you need creativity, ask me for it. I'll give it to you. Creative ways. But really, that's not the best. What's best is the simple message of Christ. Can I pray for you? Because if you talk to somebody long enough, their life's a mess. Can I talk to you? How's it going in your world? Oh, my wife just left me. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Can I pray for you? Well, I'm not really much of a prayer. Yeah, but sure, go ahead. And then you dead-eye them. Don't even close your eyes when you pray with them. Look them in the eye, because that'll force them to close their eyes. And you begin to pray for them. Say, Lord Jesus, I can't imagine what that feels like. It must be horrible. I pray that you give him a peace in the midst of this storm. I pray that you would change his wife's perspective on him, that you would step in, whatever the prayer calls for. But you get involved. Are they going to laugh at you? Of course they are. They're going to say, there's that nut over there in the second hole. So what? We don't care. I can take those hits. So can you. If you're built up in the Word, if you're built up in your faith, if you believe what you say you believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all things. Amen? All right. I got a lot more. Save that for next week. Father God, I thank you for each and every person here in this room. And I ask that you put that challenge into each of us. Put the challenge into each of us to do the simple things that you have called us to do. Father, if we have fear or we lack faith, I pray that you would equip each of us. As we ask for it, that you would equip us with increased faith, with increased belief. I pray that for everybody here in this room, myself included. Father, help us with the first step, because we know that if you take the first step, you move us along. Or maybe ebb me just a little bit on that first step, because I'm going to speak life to somebody. That's what we're called to do and called to be. So, Father, help us, each of us, to get to that place. Let our faith mean something more than just glad handing on a Sunday, which is a good thing, but let it be more than that. Let our faith be growing us so we can articulate the truth of who you are better. But in the meantime, Father, help me with the simple things that I can share those as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing is, we gave people an opportunity to receive Jesus this morning. I'll give the opportunity again for somebody else. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Apart from Him, you go it alone. With Him, He is with you. With Him, He brings you to Himself here on earth and eternally as well. Apart from Him, you have no place with Him. So is there anybody in here that wants to make a decision for Jesus Christ? It's a big deal decision. Okay, I'm going to have a few people just come up here for prayer of any kind that you need. In your prayers, who's ever praying, don't be afraid to ask the question I just asked. They might receive it when it's just you guys. So Father God, I pray a blessing over this church, that your hand would be upon each of us. Help us all to grow in depth and breadth concerning who you are, Lord Jesus. I pray that in your name. And I pray that your hand would be upon each person here as they take steps forward to go in the direction you've called them to, in Jesus' name. And Father, for the ones that may have strayed, I pray that you bring them back into the fold. And if you send us to one of them, that you give us the wherewithal and the wits to say the things they so desperately need to hear and want to hear. Help us to do that as believers for brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.